Welcome to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, and in the next hour, we'll focus on mindfulness, bringing our awareness to the present moment without judgment. Developing and deepening our capacity for mindfulness throughout our daily life is essential for reducing fearful and negative thinking, for letting go of the stories we tell ourselves that keep us stuck in place, and for transforming our relationship to ourself, to others, to the world. Join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. Thank you so much for joining me today. So as I say in the intro, the show's purpose is to talk about mindfulness and particularly to give you a space, to create a space through the show where you can bring your attention and awareness to the present moment, to practice mindfulness if you can, to relax into this moment, allow yourself to find places in your experience that resonate with the topics that I discuss, and all of that in the service of becoming a student of your own mind. And I'm going to start adding, because I think this is really important, it's us becoming a student of our own mind, our own heart, and our own body, all three, to become increasingly aware of how we are reacting and making sense of the world around us. So my topics are intended to support people in this mindfulness journey and mindfulness, bringing our attention and awareness to the present moment without judgment. Sounds so simple. It's just a few words, but it's really difficult to achieve moment by moment, which is really the ultimate goal. It's not to just be able to be mindful in retrospect to see how things kind of unfolded in our day. It's not just to have that kind of retrospective analysis of our life as a whole, but to try in each moment to bring our attention to that moment and to see what unfolds when we're able to do that. And one thing that happens, and its value, of course, is that mindfulness practices bring us greater internal peace. And the Dalai Lama wrote this about that practice. Peace in the world depends on peace within. If we have that, we can approach problems in a spirit of compassion, dialogue, and respect for the rights of others. Always a better solution than resorting to a use of weapons and force. External disarmament depends on inner disarmament. And in the context of our topic today about difficult people, when I think about weapons and force, of course, weapons and force in personal relationships can be our words and our actions. They're not necessarily weapons of mass destruction, but unkindness, dishonesty, etc. So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today is difficult people, but I want to start by talking about plants. There's a plant here in my workspace that's really special to me. It's a peace plant. No pun intended, just by coincidence. And it was given to me by a group of friends after my mother died. And I've had that plant for almost 6 years. And it's moved pots. It's been replanted two or three times. It moved across country in a plastic bag in the trunk and survived that, which I'm really grateful for. And of course, the plant reminds me of my mother because of the occasion on which I received it. But it also reminds me of my mother because I think of it as a very expressive plant. As my mother was a very expressive person. I try to be a good plant owner, but I do sometimes lose track of things and I fail to water it on a regular basis. And peace plants are great because they're going to let you know. The peace plant goes into what I consider a somewhat melodramatic full droop. Every leaf on the plant kind of bends over and looks just so sad and forlorn and unloved. And I'm joking a little bit, but I also take it seriously. I don't mean to stress a plant, this one or any of the other plants in my life, but it does make me laugh a little bit at what really looks very melodramatic in terms of a response. So when I think about this plant, I wonder, do I appreciate its ability to let me know what's going on, or do I somewhat resent it because I feel guilty when I see it drooping, and that makes me feel like a bad plant tender? Is this plant helpful and a good communicator because it lets its discomfort be known? Or is it a difficult plant because I feel bad when it shows me I haven't cared for it well enough? Plants, relationships, they're connected. And this plant made me think a little bit about it when I was talking to a friend the other day about a newish romantic relationship she's in. And you know, this happens in new relationships, it happens throughout relationships that people work through communication issues. And I think that's a lifelong, a relationship long process, but I think early in a relationship, it can feel particularly fraught as we wonder if this is the communication problem that is going to dissolve our relationship. So she was telling me that when they have a disagreement, he often brings up complaints about her that he hadn't mentioned before. And, at the time that they happened. And when she asks him why, he says, why he hasn't said something sooner, he likes to say, or he typically says, well, I like to let things go. And I just want to say, I am convinced he is 100% sincere when he says that he likes to let things go, even though his behavior in that moment is a clear contradiction, right? If he's bringing something up that happened days or weeks after it happened, then clearly he has not let it go. But disagreements in interpersonal relationships are tricky, and they're tangles of thoughts and feelings. And in this case, in this conversation, I asked my friend how she feels when he tells her about things that have bugged him, but that he hasn't mentioned before. And she said, at first she said, well, you know, what she says to him is, you know, when you do that, I love this expression. She says, it makes me feel some kind of way. But I pressed her, I stopped her, and I said, but really, what does that mean? What is the way that it makes you feel? She finally said, you know, it makes me feel dumb. Like, here I was going along thinking everything was fine, and he's over there sort of accounting for all of my mistakes, all the things I'm doing that irritates me, and he's not telling me about it until much further along. And so I'd like to let you know that in communication studies, we have a technical term for his behavior. It's called gunny sacking. And that's when we keep stuffing our irritations and our frustrations with another person down and down and down into the burlap bag of our psyche until one day that person does something, or one day the person who our frustrations and irritations are aimed at, or sometimes an innocent bystander, does the thing, whatever that might be, and the sack explodes, and all of those negative thoughts and feelings come rushing out. Now, it's worth noting that my friend's friend wants to be a person who lets things go. I think that's absolutely sincere. He doesn't want to be a person who frets over small stuff, who's overly critical, who's always kind of, toting up all of his grievances. He really wants to see himself as a person who can let things go. But then he finds himself in a situation where she's willing to say what's bothering her about him. And how does he feel? What's happening in his mind and body? My guess is there's tension and there is anxiety and fear, maybe also. Is she telling me about something that's going to end our relationship? Do I feel yucky, like a bad partner in this relationship because of these things that she's telling me? And that releases all of these things that I've been gunny sacking for weeks, stuffing down and stuffing down and stuffing down. So when I feel that level of defensiveness, in his case, maybe he goes on the offensive in order to address and in a sense, release all of that negativity that he's feeling in relationship to her concerns about him. And so her behavior can kind of puncture his gunny sack. So my friend is like my peace plant, right? When there's a problem, she wants to talk about it. And that's great. Although if it happens in my life, I'll be honest, I might feel a little bit defensive about it, just like her friend does. And her friend, he's like my 25-year-old Chef Alera, who just keeps trucking along until I finally notice that the floor around the Chef Alera is sticky. And I say, Chefy, what's going on? And then I notice the leaves are sticky and I suddenly have aphids. And even worse, Chefy has aphids. And I feel like a really dumb plant owner because I didn't notice before. Relationships are hard. They're a tangle of feelings and thoughts of our past. Things, the thing about difficult people, however they show up in our life, their behavior, their habits of mind and heart and body are crossing paths with our habits of minds and heart and body. And it can be very difficult to untangle all the threads of the past and the present of the relationship, of previous relationships, of the family system or the work system in which individual relationships develop, of the cultural context that gives us a lot of messages about what's normal, what's appropriate, how people ought to be in relationships to other people. So today I'm going to ask you to think about one or two relationships in your life where you might describe the other person as difficult, whatever that means to you. And keep those relationships in mind as we talk about how becoming students of our own mind, our own heart, our own body, of how practicing mindfulness can transform not the other person, although wouldn't that be nice, but totally unrealistic and not going to happen. So we aren't really after transforming the other person, but our way of being in relationship to the other person. That is within our power to do. But it's always helpful to start by breathing. So let's do that, and then we'll take a break. So let's do Laurie Cameron's three deep breaths, where the first breath, we just focus on the sensation of the air entering and exiting our body. In the second breath, we notice any place in our body where we feel tension, and we consciously relax. And in the third breath, we set our intention for this moment. What do you need? What do I need to be present to this moment right now? Okay? So three deep breaths. Breath number one, just pay attention to your breathing. Breath number two, notice any place where you feel tension and relax. And breath number three, just set your intention for just this moment. Thank you for joining me in that. And those three deep breaths are always a good idea if you're having trouble falling asleep or getting back to sleep before you go into a difficult situation, or I don't know, maybe a difficult conversation with a difficult person. Try three deep breaths first. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about mindfulness and difficult people. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm a big fan of yours, and of y'all's wisdom has been very valuable to me. I've been curious, kind of stuck and not sure which direction to go, and having the motivation, you know, to do that as well. So thank you very much. It's a beautiful message. Thank you very much.
It is a beautiful message.
It's very comforting and a great reminder.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to transformationtalkradio.com or visit Susan's website at susandolce.com.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So in our mindfulness inquiry and becoming students of our own minds, of our own hearts, of our own bodies, of bringing deep awareness to every part of our experience, we are talking today in particular about doing that, in working with and being and relating to people that we might perceive as difficult. And I say that we might perceive wanting to always remember a couple of things that I'd hate to admit this, but I suspect that I am a difficult person for some people in my life. I'm not 100% sure who, it just seems, likely. And I know there are people in my life that I consider difficult. So I think it's an inevitability, but it's interesting when we talk about difficult people, we don't necessarily bring ourselves into the equation to say, how is it that I too might be a bit difficult person for someone? And I bring that up now because I think as we talk about how we deal with difficult people in our life, it might help us to remember that that is probably the case, that for someone else, dealing with us poses challenges that we may be unaware of. So I've been reading this wonderful essay by Joseph Goldstein. I mentioned it last time in our discussion of impermanence. And he had a section in there on dealing with things that are external, and particularly people. And I wanted to read a little bit of that and then talk about how that relates to mindfulness and difficult people. It's exactly on point, it seems to me. So he wrote that the discourse on the foundations of mindfulness and when the Buddha talks about being mindful internally and externally, so that both of those things are happening in the Buddha's discourse and tells us how to think about that or to think about that and what it means to be mindful both internally and externally. And Goldstein writes, so normally we know what mindfulness internally means, right? We are aware of our own processes. And that's really what I'm almost always talking about in some form or another, is being aware of what's happening inside us, how we feel in our body, where our mind is going in any particular circumstance. But today, we're going to focus on the external, in this case, the experience of a difficult person. And so let's say you're speaking with someone you experience as difficult, and maybe the person is exaggerating or being untruthful or being aggressive in a way that seems disproportionate to the situation that you're in. Goldstein tells us the choice is, are we simply reacting to all of that and maybe getting angry ourselves or defensive or hurt or whatever it may be? Or can we practice being mindful externally, just recognizing this person is speaking harshly? This person is speaking what is not true. So are we seeing it? We're not pretending it's not happening, but we're in a place of balance. We're in a place of simply being mindful that this is happening. And from that mindfulness, there's the possibility of resting in a place of loving kindness, concerned for their welfare, knowing and understanding that they're creating tremendous suffering for themselves in that kind of speech. It's not something that's easy to do, he says. It's an interesting challenge, in fact, to bring to difficult conversations where we can stay centered with genuine compassion. So I was thinking about this a lot, and I loved this description of his in this story because this is something I talk to clients about all the time. And that is, what does it mean to put yourself in the witness seat in a difficult situation? It's incredibly difficult to do because difficult situations by their nature, right, tend to be emotionally charged. So to try to step out of that intense feeling in our bodies, all the places our mind is likely to go, maybe even a genuine feeling of constriction in our heart at the difficulty of the situation or the other person, and to push ourselves, allow ourselves, urge ourselves to get into the witness seat is, as Goldstein says, an incredible challenge. I was talking about this most recently with a client who has a fairly new job and is coming to the realization that the person he works for, who was so charismatic in the interview process, someone he admired immediately and thought this was going to be an incredible opportunity, he doesn't like him very much. And it's really hard to be at work. He's deeply unhappy, and he's very aware that his unhappiness with the job has everything to do with the boss, who is, from my client's perspective, a very difficult person. So I asked him in a, you know, one of the challenges with the experience of working as a life coach is I just so want a magic wand and to be able to say to a person, here's the one thing, you just do this one thing, everything will be fine. But it's never that way. So what I asked the person, my client, to do was to try to, in those conversations with the boss that he finds so uncomfortable, observe, notice, describe, observe, notice, describe. Stay, get yourself as much as you can into a witness seat. Maybe it won't happen every time, but just give it a shot, and describe the person's behavior. And fortunately, my client is a very observant person, and it's very difficult because it's such an emotionally charged environment to take the witness seat and just observe. But when we can do this, you know, we might be surprised at what we see, because when we are not in the witness seat, we are so aware of primarily, I think, where our mind goes and the fear and anxiety that we might be producing. So for my client, when he's not in the witness seat with the boss, a lot of his thought processes are about, my boss doesn't trust me, my boss doesn't really like me, my boss doesn't respect me, my boss is wrong about all of this, my boss is, a lot of judgment about the boss's behavior, being not great leadership, you know, style, inconsistent, hypocritical, right? So lots of self-judgment, lots of judgment towards the other. And so then you try to pull back and say, okay, honestly, I'm going to try to do this. How do I get to the witness seat? I'm going to try this. You know, can he notice when the boss seems nervous? Can he notice when the boss seems distracted? You might, as you focus on the other person's words and behavior, ideally some genuine compassion for them might raise a question like, what else is going on in this person's life? I said to my client at one point, you know, this, your boss has started this new business. Do you think he feels a lot of pressure? And he said, oh yeah, he feels, you know, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. So he knows that. But in that face-to-face difficult conversation, when he feels so under attack and so distrusted, et cetera, all that mind stuff goes on for him about what's really happening with the boss, and he thinks it's all about him, he loses track of what he knows, and when he's calmer, is happening for his boss. What would it be like to always bring that level of compassion to the interactions with that person, to walk into the situation saying to himself, you know, my boss is under a lot of pressure. My boss is really struggling. My boss is nervous. My boss has a lot on his mind. Not to excuse bad behavior ever, but to allow ourselves, I think, to not be just absolutely taken for a ride on those hard emotions that come up when we're dealing with a difficult person, and to see everything about that person's behavior through a kind of lens that says, this is all about me. Right? Their bad behavior is really about their dislike of me and what a failure I am, or how bad I am at my job, or what a poor parent I am. I mean, think about some of the things we tell ourselves, what we say to ourselves in the midst of a conversation with a difficult person. So my personal example of this today, and I'm not sure it's appropriate because it's not that personal, but it really has, I spent 4 years living with it, so I'm just going to say it. I was, when Donald Trump was president, he was on the news a lot. I'm a person who thinks it's important to pay attention to what's going on. So I saw him speak many, many, many times on television. And of course, because his politics are nearly the opposite, I don't really even think they're politics. I think his behavior is the opposite of what I value in many cases. So I was often instantly angry, regardless of what he was talking about. And in particular, I wouldn't say I took it personally. Maybe I kind of did. I do feel as though he had no concern or compassion for people like me. So then I would try this strategy of observing, noticing his behavior and his words and his demeanor, etc., instead of just allowing myself to go into that spin of what a monster I thought he was. And so I tried to be responsive and thinking about what was happening, noticing, observing it rather than simply reacting. And, you know, I began to see within a few months of him becoming president what a really damaged person he seemed to be. I honestly believe he is a person who may never have experienced genuine, unconditional love from another person. That's how insecure and scared he seems to me, that he has maybe never felt that kind of genuine, unconditional love from anyone. And, you know, the stories of his childhood are not of abuse and neglect, but they certainly are of him and his siblings being treated as instruments of his father's business, as tax deductions. So that's why I really think that that may be true. And I think you can see it in his eyes. I think you can see it in his behavior. And that doesn't change what I think about his behavior as president. It doesn't change what I think about his policies. It doesn't excuse the lies that he told. But it does do one thing that is really important, and it's the only thing I have any ability to influence. It changes the way I feel inside. I don't change the world personally, me personally. Maybe some people do, but I don't, by being angry. I think I have more impact when I'm at peace. And I'm more clear-headed when I'm at peace. When I'm angry, I'm kind of a sputtering nitwit. So, and anger isn't an unjustifiable emotion. I think it actually is. But in that particular situation, and I think this is true in with the real people in our everyday lives as well, when we can be more in a place of observation and noticing, and because that observation and noticing often brings us closer to a place of compassion, of really seeing what's happening for the other person in a way that is more compassionate. It's filled with loving kindness, and it doesn't change our perception or our assessment of the person's behavior, but it absolutely can bring more peace to us so that we are not at the mercy of what we think of as another person's difficult behavior. And that's really important, to not be at the mercy either of our own thoughts and feelings, but also not to attribute our unhappiness and our suffering to someone else's behavior, but to bring instead peace into our lives. So when we come, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to have two more ideas. One is this observe, observe, observe. But what are a couple of other things we can do when we find ourselves in relationships with people who we perceive as difficult? And, you know, it might be somebody we've just met. It might be somebody we have known since we were born. All right. There's difficult people all over the world. And we always like to keep in mind, for somebody, we're probably a difficult person too. But when we come back, we'll talk more about strategies, mindfulness strategies for addressing it. Okay, you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Are you feeling lost or unmotivated, stuck and not sure what to do next? David George Brook has exactly what you need on That Gratitude Guy podcast. David George Brook is a speaker, best-selling author, and life coach here to share stories of motivation and inspiration to help you get unstuck and achieve great things by living with gratitude. Live every first and third Friday at 12:30 Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
When was the last time you had that feeling that you knew something? but you couldn't explain how you knew it. How powerful would it be for your life and business if you could consciously tap into that magic within you? What if you could remember that there's something supernatural about you? Tune in to Absolute Alignment with Christelle Biga, When Success Feels Easy, every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So today we are talking about mindfulness, because we're always talking about mindfulness, and difficult people. And I've asked you to be thinking in this show about the difficult people that you might be experiencing in your life. Is there somebody in your family who maybe their politics are the opposite of yours, and it's hard to avoid that those topics coming up? It's easy to say we won't talk about it, but it isn't necessarily easy to put that into practice. Or I have come from a large family, and I'm always kind of amazed at people from large families who appear to have incredibly warm, generous, healthy relationships with their siblings. And I don't know, I love my siblings. They're wonderful human beings, and it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy at all to have relationships with all of them. And I haven't always succeeded, because for me, sometimes they have been a difficult person in my life. I mentioned this often, that clients often come to me initially to talk about work challenges. And it is often the case that the work challenge centers around a particular person with whom they really struggle to get along, somebody who, you know, we use those kind of phrases, pushes their buttons, etc. So we're talking about that today, and what we can do in terms of mindfulness practices to transform our relationship to them. Not going to be able to transform them, but how can we transform our experience of them? So the first thing is kind of going off of Joseph Goldstein's work and talking about mindfulness and becoming aware of mindfulness and using it in relationship to external things, right? There's always going to be something outside of our bodies and our minds that can be the cause of our suffering. So what can mindfulness help us do? And the essential thing is really that getting into the witness seat, allowing ourselves, instead of focusing on what it is that is difficult about this person, focusing instead on just simply observing and noticing their behavior. What is it that we can notice about their speech? What can we notice about their physical demeanor? Are they turning red? Are their fists clenching? Do they seem to be nervous or distracted? And just sort of saying to ourselves, this person isn't telling this the truth. This person seems very upset. This person seems very angry. And that kind of just calm, methodical observation can help us to have peace in ourselves, which can help us to have a more peaceful response to the other person. I think it's when we are in that observation place that we're better able to respond with questions. Tell me more about that. Help me understand. I'm curious about why you say that. Those kinds of questions that don't necessarily bring up the other person's defensiveness, right? It's all about, in that sense, de-escalation. So the questions that are sincere, that come from a place of genuineness and compassion, can be one of the strategies that helps to de-escalate a situation. And it's not that kind of, you know, we probably all have those customer service experiences where we've been on the phone and we've gotten a little irritated. And so the other, ma'am, I understand that you're sad and concerned and unhappy. Right. And you know, that can make us all feel worse sometimes, or angrier. Don't manage me. Right. But in these real relationships with people in our lives, it is worth trying to find that sincere place, not the scripted place that we've been given by our manager to deal with angry people on the phone, but to have a genuine desire to be in relationship to another is to say, okay, I'm going to try to be a witness to what I see happening for you, and I'm going to try to ask you more questions about it so that maybe I can come to understanding. And that brings me to my idea about superpowers, because I happen to have one, and many of you do as well, and that is my capacity to listen. Listening is the most powerful superpower I am aware of in the context of interpersonal relationships, which is to say throughout our days and lives. Listening, it can happen in so many different ways. If you think about you're in a class, right? What is the purpose of your listening when you're in a class and somebody's lecturing? Well, it's to take notes. It's to identify the most important things. It's to keep track of what's happening. You're the secretary in a business meeting. What is your purpose is very similar to keep track of what's happening. So you're listening for key ideas. You're trying to reproduce the language of what people are saying and what you're writing down so that it's accurate, et cetera. But in interpersonal relationships, why are we listening? You know, that little angel on our shoulder would say, oh, we're listening to understand. But the devil reality says, we are listening to prove that we are right. Right? And that is exactly what happens in the context of not being able to put our superpower into practice. So if we want to get into the witness seat, one of the things that we want to do is bring the listening superpower to bear. And again, it's without judgment, which is to say, not in either direction, good or bad, but what does it mean to listen to understand? It means that we're not listening in our typical way, which is what we often do, especially in a situation where we are upset or angry or feel threatened in any way. We listen to protect ourselves. And how do we listen to protect ourselves? We listen in order to refute. I'm not listening. What I'm really doing is in my mind, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to prove to you that I am right and you are wrong. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to hurt you so that it shuts you up. I'm thinking about what I say every time we have this conversation, right? Think of those, what are the unwanted repetitive patterns in our life, right? The conversation we have over and over again that the observers could script for us. They've probably heard it so many times. So that's what I'm doing. When you're talking, I'm thinking about how do I put you in your place? How do I prove that I'm right? How do I bring to bear the script that I always use in this particular situation with you? Because it helps me feel protected, or it ends the conflict and I really hate conflict, something like that. So, but listening to understand is different. And it's listening in a sense with your whole self. It's listening to be able to notice when the person sounds anxious, when the person's face is red and they seem upset or angry or hurt. It's listening for facts, but it's also listening for feelings, right? What's going on beneath the story? What's the feeling beneath the story that's being told here? I may see anger and accusation, but if I'm really listening to understand, will I start to notice fear? Will I start to notice defensiveness? Will I start to notice sadness? Will I start to notice hurt, right? When my friend and her boyfriend are arguing, if they could slow down a little, if they were in the witness seat, I think that he would be able to notice that it's hard for her to bring up a conflict, that she's doing it from a place of fear and anxiety. And she might notice that when he hears about something, he's maybe a little panicked. He feels accused. He feels like he's done something that might dissolve the relationship. So he's in a place of fear. When they can listen to understand, they can see not only what's the thing that we're arguing about, the wet towels, the unwashed dishes, but also what's the feeling underneath of maybe being disrespected or not listened to or hurt in some way. So listening is, in fact, a superpower, I encourage, and it's something that can be learned, no matter what habits you might have learned growing up about listening. Because the thing about listening and the reason that it is a superpower is that to really listen to another person is to be vulnerable, right? If I'm really listening, I am in a vulnerable position because I might hear things that make me feel sad, that I might feel sad in response to. I might notice that I really have hurt you or I've been disrespectful, perhaps unintentionally, but if I'm really listening to understand and I'm listening for feelings and not just facts, I am vulnerable to noticing that I haven't watered that darn plant in 2 weeks and it looks pretty sad and I'm the cause of that. So it makes us vulnerable and vulnerable to change, right? If I'm really listening and I'm really taking it in and I'm not just trying to win the day or win the argument, I might draw the conclusion from that conversation that there are things about my behavior I might want to change. So listening, it's a superpower. You can learn how to do it if you haven't already, and you can always bring it to bear. And I would just say, to advocate for listening, the best compliments I've ever gotten, and probably the most sincere ones, are the ones where someone says to me, I never felt so listened to, heard, and understood. That's a pretty powerful opportunity. So I encourage that. And another a topic that I've brought up before in a book that I've encouraged people to look at is one called, and this is kind of the third idea of a strategy, is a book by a woman named Byron Katie called Loving What Is. And it is a great book. She's a person who's been through a lot in her life. And she talks about, you know, the idea that there's always going to be something, right? There are going to be difficult people, difficult conversations, difficult relationships, difficult systems we live and work in. And then there's how I feel in my body as it's happening, and those difficult things are happening, and what arises in my mind and the constrictions I feel in my heart. And I really want to pay attention as I move towards greater mindfulness to where my mind goes, so that I can ask myself the Byron Katie question in a difficult circumstance. Who would I be and how would I behave if I didn't have the thought? And if you think about this in terms of, say, the work situation, I'm in a conversation with my boss and my mind is going to that place of, my boss doesn't like me. My boss doesn't think I'm good at my job. Who would I be if everything else was the same, but I didn't have that thought? And challenging those thoughts, the limiting beliefs is another way to think about them, and letting go of them in that moment is one of the ways we get into the witness seat. If I'm not distracted by that thought that causes suffering, I can pay more attention to what's really happening to the other person, how they're behaving. I can notice it in a mindful, non-judgmental way. I can listen for the feelings as well as the facts, right? So challenging that limiting belief is sometimes the key then to getting into the witness seat and to being an incredible listener and to bring your superpowers of listening to you. I'm going to have a little example of that when we get back. So we're going to take our last break, and we're going to come back and wrap up on our conversation about bringing mindfulness to bear when we are dealing with difficult people. And thank you for listening to Nothing But Now. We'll be right back after the break.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio, as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendars. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What? Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and spirit walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit SarahMaine.com.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So today we're talking about mindfulness and how mindfulness practices can help us deal with difficult people in our life. And we've been talking really about three strategies that are quite interconnected. Joseph Goldstein really encourages us to get into what I would think of as the witness seat when we're dealing with a difficult person, to try to allow ourselves, instead of focusing on our internal thoughts of anxiety or fear or frustration with the other person, to really try to focus on observing their behavior, noticing what's happening for them, describing it to ourselves. This person isn't telling the truth. This person seems very angry. This person seems very distracted. This person seems very nervous. This person seems whatever the case might be. And that in doing that, it can help us get to a place of compassion for them. So it's the observing without attaching a judgment to it, right? Because you could imagine that could go horribly wrong. This person seems so nervous. What a jerk, right? This person's clearly distracted. Why don't they have their mind on the meeting? This is ridiculous, right? So it's easy to go from an observation to a judgment. And the challenge, the practice, the mindfulness practice is, how can I stay in the mode of observation rather than judgment? And one way to do that is to really think about it as a listening skill, and something that can be developed. And that is a difficult and interesting challenge, because we aren't necessarily raised in a way that people talk to us about what it means to listen. We often think that it's simply, hey, my ears are open, I can hear what you're saying. But deep listening, empathic listening, is something altogether different. And it takes often, especially in a difficult situation, a conscious effort on our part to say, I'm hearing the facts, but I'm also trying to listen for this person's feelings about what's happening. I'm hearing the facts, and I want to protect myself, but I'm going to try to let go of my desire to put on my armor against this person and simply listen. We have a tendency, especially in emotionally charged situations, instead of listening, what we're really doing is rehearsing our responses, what we're going to say, what we've always said, what's going to either shut that person down, prove that we're right, etc. So to let go of all of that and to simply say, I'm really listening to what you're saying, even though I'm going to be vulnerable in that situation, because you might tell me things that I don't want to hear. You might tell me things that hurt my feelings, or suggest to me that there maybe are legitimate ways in which I need to change and alter my behavior. And all of that's very tough to do, to hear, but it's worth it. And it's helping us stay in that witness seat and really observing what's happening for the other person. And then the final idea is really from Byron Katie about loving what is. And so when we find ourselves in a situation with a person for whom we have difficulty, we want to ask ourselves, and that, where is my mind going? You know, what are the thoughts that I have in relationship to this person? And especially if it's a recurring kind of relationship, it's with my boss, it's with a child, it's with a partner, it's with a neighbor. What's the place my mind goes to over and over again? This person doesn't respect me. This person is a jerk. This person is dishonest. Whatever it is, who can I be? Who might I be without that thought? If I can let go of some of those fixed habits I have of where my mind goes in relationship to that person, then I'm probably in a better position to listen, to observe. And when I'm doing all of that, I'm getting closer to a place of compassion, which is not the same as agreeing with the person. It's not the same as sanctioning or saying that their actions are okay, but it does allow us to understand. And I always think of a man I used to work with that at one point we were peers in the system and then I became his boss. And when we were peers, I completely dismissed him as a human being because I thought he was a jerk. And our work was so separate, it didn't matter how I felt about him, didn't matter how he felt about me. I was sure he thought I was, you know, a knee-jerk liberal idiot, and I thought he was a conservative twit, right? So then I was his boss. And I had to meet with him every month. And I was kind of overwhelmed by that because I had dismissed him for years and I couldn't do that anymore. So, you know, I teach communication. I put that listening cap on with him. And the most remarkable thing happened, which was he became so vulnerable in our conversations. You know, his sort of blustering, big ego appearing behavior, you know, there was no surprise, kind of a marshmallow underneath. He was a person who felt deeply misunderstood. And it didn't, turns out, you know, you can think about that situation and say, oh, you know, I want to put up a roadblock to that person. I'm not interested in his humanity because he's a jerk sometimes. But it really, I realized it cost me nothing to simply listen to him, to let him tell me what was really happening for him, the emotional part of his job that he struggled with quite a bit, and that his way of dealing with, unfortunately, sometimes was to be a jerk to other people. And he really loved talking to me, which shocked me because we had been such separate colleagues. But he, because he felt listened to, and it helped take the edge off a little bit of his behavior with other people, because he knew there was a safe place where he could come and he could talk to me and he could tell me what he really thought about his colleagues, and he didn't always have to take it out on them. And you know, he had his good qualities, which is another thing that Goldstein says about, you know, this listening behavior and this observing rather than always putting ourselves in the critique spot, is that, you know, we want to see all of a person. And we know that a person who is difficult in our lives has flaws, right? Has behaviors we don't like, but we want to also be able to see the whole person and to know that there are places that are good, because that, you know, just that allows us to be more realistic in our responsiveness to that person. If I think a person is a monster, whether it was my colleague or Donald Trump, then they're not real, right? And so my response is not real. So if I want to have an authentic response to somebody else, I want to still see their whole humanity. That makes a difference. And I want to acknowledge that I too can be a difficult person. And I want to say too that, you know, in my life, I've thrown a few plants out that I didn't like or didn't want. And I've given them away on a better day. I've planted them in the yard sometimes and let them deal with the elements on their own. You know, that's two things I would say in response to that is I'm far from perfect in relationships with others, and I can't always salvage a relationship. And I wouldn't expect that of anyone. Not every relationship can be salvaged. And that's okay, but I want to give them a fighting chance, I suppose. Repot them a few times before I say, you know what? Our boundaries are such that I can't be in a position of loving kindness towards you. And when I know that, if I can really be honest with myself and realize that's not possible in this relationship, then I'm not doing that person any good by staying in the relationship. And that's okay. So fortunately, as we talked about last week, you know, impermanence, it's all going to go away anyway. So there's really no reason to get too wound up about it, I suppose. I'm joking, but relationships really matter to us. They are the stuff of our life. But if we can bring to bear some mindfulness practices in difficult relationships, and you know, almost any relationship can have its difficult moments, right? Then I think that we can be in a better place to be both authentic and compassionate in our work with other people and our relationships with other people. So if you would like to learn more about my work as a life coach, because this is the stuff we talk about all the time in coaching, you can go to my website, Mariangela McGuire. My website is mcguirelifecoach.com. My email is mariangelamcguire@gmail.com. The first conversation is complimentary, which means that it's free. And we'll talk about what you'd like to achieve through coaching. I'll describe the method that I use. It's called an inquiry method. And we'll have a short session so that you can determine if working with me will serve your needs. So visit my website, mcguirelifecoach.com, or go to mariangelamcguire@gmail.com and send me an email, and we'll set a time to talk. And remember to take those three deep breaths before you walk into any situation where you think there might be the slightest bit of turmoil or tension. It's the grocery store, it's a meeting at work, it's get before you sit down at the dinner table with family. Just three deep breaths. Notice your breath, relax any place you feel tension, set your intention for that moment. And until next week, please be curious about your mind, please be kind to yourself, and thanks for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.